Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night open call. I'd like to extend a special welcome to all of the new people that are joining us. It's great to have new people. We've always got new people coming on, and it's really, really gratifying to see the numbers of people that are joining us growing, and it is growing dramatically. And I'm trying to unmute people on the board here. Hello, Terry. We got you in with us now.
And I'm here.
And John is here. I'm still waiting for Jesse to show up. Yep, John's here. And I don't know what happened to Jesse. Jesse got lost in the woods somewhere, I think. We know how to do things without Jesse, of course, because every once in a while he's off in a wild blue yonder. But we are going to have a good call, an interesting call tonight. And here we got Larry. Let's get Larry in here, too. Larry, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing pretty good, except I think Jesse got caught out in behind the woodshed or something. he's not with us yet, but that's all right. We'll go find him. We'll send a search party out for him here, PDQ. But I'll go ahead and do a disclaimer, just like Jesse does, and tell everybody that what you hear on this call is just discussion of legal issues. We have a lot of fun. We talk about various things relating to legal issues and legal situations. We don't ever give any legal advice, quite frankly, because we don't know how. None of us are attorneys. And you have to be an attorney to give legal advice. And if you need legal advice, we suggest that you go consult a bar-licensed attorney. But what we do is have some good, fun discussion about issues and see if we can help give people some direction on dealing with certain situations they may be in where some of us possibly have got some experience or some knowledge through study, whatever the situation may be, based on what we've done. So with that said, we always, of course, start with good news. If anybody has good news, please hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, just the one key. There's no other key that you need to hit, and that will get you into the queue. So that if you've got some good news, you can go ahead and bring that to us. I actually have some good news, and I've had a pretty good day today. I can't complain. I got a check today in the mail for $1,500 for some TCPA, just several calls to my cell phone, and needless to say, I was very pleased with that. No litigation, never had to file a lawsuit. In fact, quite frankly, I didn't even have to draft a lawsuit, which made it even simpler. It saved me the time of fiddling with that. But that's all wrapped up. That was done last week, and I got the funds today, so I'm a happy camper on that. And the other part of it is that I got calls from a new debt collector today. I got a call. And it just kills me that just when you think you've got everything pretty well squared away and, you know, calls are slowing down. Calls from the other collectors have slowed for me. Lo and behold, what happens? I get a brand new one. Portfolio called me today. Go figure. But that's good news to me because if they want to violate, then they can pay the tab. That's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned.
Just more deep pockets that want to share.
Yeah. I've got
a portfolio
Skype message. Yeah. Well, you know, they're one that has cases going in the MDL. Jesse has tried to Skype me here, and I can't get my Skype to do anything. This darn computer is not cooperating for some reason. That's my other one. It's not
He's
the one
not
we're
Skyping
on
me. Maybe he will.
Yeah, I don't know why this thing is acting up all of a sudden.
Skype me, Jesse, if you... Oh, he's not on the call, is he?
Well, I don't know. That's just it. That
Maybe he's on and you couldn't unmute him because you can't find him?
Well, I've got two phone numbers for him, and I don't see him on either one. I don't see him on the board. He may be trying to tell me he's a little bit late, but
I try to call my other line.
Yeah. Well, just hang on a second. I don't know why this other computer is locked up. It never happens at a good time.
That's the Murphys. Yes, you do know.
Yeah, well, it's one of these
I loaned
things.
Them to you today because I didn't need them today.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. You know, you're just full of good ideas, Terry. But the bottom line is that computer is it is just not wanting to cooperate. So I'm going to end the Skype and I'll bring it back up and I'll see what I've got there. But anyway, I've had a good day. Let's see if anybody else has had any of the moderators, any of you guys had any good news past week?
Go ahead.
You go first. No, you go first, ladies.
Going to be a gentleman. Okay, well, I had a rather sort of difficult and sort of very educating and very good experience day, and as a result, I think I'm not very popular in certain circles.
Gee, I wonder where that is.
Yeah. So, and I will share that experience at a later date when things are wrapped up, but it's a good experience for me so that I can... There were some things that happened during that little meeting that would be very good to help other people in that situation. So I will be sharing that as soon as I can.
Yep. That was an interesting day. So,
yeah.
Yep. Hey, there's, anytime we have a new experience, it's always something, it's an opportunity for us to learn something. And we always want to take advantage of that. And by the way, Jesse said that he is on the phone with Tanner right now. He'll be joining us shortly.
Jeff said, unmute Jeff. He's muted. He Skyped me because he had info.
Yeah. And we'll get Jeff in here.
Thank you.
And Jeff, there you go. Yep.
I've been trying to reach you to tell you that Jesse was running behind. To go ahead and start the call with Adam. He'll be joining us soon.
And this, and Jeff wasn't his own mute button.
Yeah. All right.
You can't hear me?
Okay. Yeah, we
can
hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yep. You're not left out in the cold. Well, Larry, you said you had some good news. What do you got?
Oh, indeed I do. As many of you know,
good.
I had a federal case against Capital One and also Alliance as their debt collector. And I settled with Capital One, and they paid me a fair amount of change. And in addition, and that's confidential, so I'm not going to talk about the amount. Actually, the whole agreement was confidential, but since they clearly violated one portion of it, I feel absolutely free to talk about this part. They were supposed to buy back a Best Buy credit card that they had sold or transferred or given or whatever to Citi, the amount being at this point about $12,500. They're supposed to buy it back and zero it out. Well, they didn't. So not only did Capital One report it as a defaulted debt, but then Citi got hold of it, started calling me and sending me letters, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, and I just found out this today, they sent it to a collection agency a few months ago. The collection agency never contacted me. Well, they're going to send me, I talked to them today, and they're going to send me a letter. So meanwhile, both Citi and Capital One are reporting this on my credit report as delinquent and or derogatory, which, of course, disputed. So they're both in violation of FCRA. Capital One is in violation of the agreement, and as I figure it, they owe me $12,500 plus damages for violations of FCRA. So we're going to ask them for about, I don't know, somewhere in the range of $20,000. As soon as I get the letter from the collection agency, of course, I'm going to dispute it and send it back or send it to them, and then they're going to owe me a couple of grand. And then the city is going to owe me money for violations of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, plus TCPA violations. So for a lawsuit that was settled, I'm just racking up a whole bunch more money.
Well, that's just amazing.
And
excited tone.
Oh, yeah. This is good stuff. I should get a lot more money from these violations than I did from the original violations. In addition to that, Alliance One, the other defendant, filed a motion for sanctions, which I found out today was denied. But they made it clear that they were seeking sanctions against both the attorney handling the case and me personally. So guess who's getting sued for FDCPA and FCCPA violations? The attorney, the law firm, and the former defendant.
Why
were they trying to sanction you?
They said the lawsuit was frivolous, basically.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I got threatened with sanctions that can't happen today, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the magistrate just completely shot down their motion, saying there was no merit to it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't even know how to plead it properly, right?
Yeah.
They didn't even do it
tactics.
Properly.
Yeah, it's the scare tactics against a pro se.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, actually, Marshall was handling this case.
And
so,
I found
out, not only did I get my money, but he got attorney's fees, and he's getting more attorney's fees once we deal with all these people once again.
You know what, Gary? I found out in person just how cranky they get when you call them on it and it doesn't work. It's not a pretty picture.
Yeah. Well, you know, the attorney handling the case for Capital One, she's going to be livid when she finds out what happened. And I've been trying to call her because, I want to, figure out first what's going on and two, how we're going to resolve this. But she refuses to talk to me until she gets clearance from Marshall as to whether or not she's allowed to do so. But at this point, it doesn't matter. He's just going to call her up and say, we're looking for somewhere in the range of $20,000 to $25,000. You want to pay us now or you want to pay us later?
You want to pay us
more later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the essence of it.
Yeah, because at this point,
Mr.
I can
Jesse,
not only file a federal lawsuit, but I can also file a state lawsuit for a violation of the agreement.
There you go.
Breach of contract.
Wow.
Has the long-lost soul from the woods joined us now?
Yeah. Man, I tell you, Tanner just happened to call at the dang minute, like 7:58. I'm like, oh, man, I got to take this call. We've been working on something together. So, yeah, this is a funny story. I don't want to drag it on, though. It's 8:13, man, but I got a really good funny story with these idiots, typical attorneys. And this is a warning to all our members. Be careful who you hire. Very carefully screen these idiots out. This gal is a friend of mine, happens to be our landscaper, right? Her and my wife are horseback riding buddies and, girlfriends, all that. So she comes over and she says, listen, I need you to look at some pleadings my attorney filed. I didn't even know this woman was in foreclosure. She's kind of kept it, under the radar. And I looked and I brought up her case. And Larry, you're going to get a kick. She's in Orange County, right? So she brings up this case, this docket, and I look and I go, wait, it's dismissed. It was dismissed back in 2009. They filed it in 2008, Aurora did, and they dismissed it in 2009. Apparently, they stuck the original note and the mortgage into that file and returned it to the clerk, but they never got it back. So in 2010, they filed another foreclosure with a lost note count. So this attorney didn't know where the hell the note
was.
I'm like, what? I looked and said, is this right? So I'm cracking up, and I'm going, damn, this is like, set this thing for trial like yesterday. Be done with it. Get it out of the way. This house is yours, free and clear, right? So I start reading the new attorney's pleadings, and I'm talking about the attorney she hired. And you know what that attorney said? Well, the original note's in the clerk's file. I don't know why they filed a lost note count.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you walk into her office, pull the trigger, and walk out. Be done. Just that's it. You're done.
Justifiable homicide.
Yeah. Are you absolutely, absolutely kidding me that this woman just did this?
Oh, my God.
Well, here's the beautiful thing. They haven't amended the complaint. It's been, what, 4 years? This is 2010, so they haven't amended the complaint. They're going to be stuck with the lost note count. I want Tanner. I sent her up to Tanner tomorrow. I'm not sure. First thing in the morning, he gets a hold of her. I said, bring your checkbook. Give it to him. He'll jump in as co-counsel. He'll go ahead and set this thing for trial, and then it'll be done because they're still stuck with that old complaint, you know, the lost note count. So they can't never – even if they get the note back somehow or other, it won't be admissible into evidence. So it's a one deal. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She's going to be, you know what I mean?
But still.
Oh, how stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That just makes you shake your head and shiver.
Oh, that's what I'm telling you. You guys got to be careful when you hire these attorneys. I'm telling you, Tanner was like, are you kidding me? I said, no, this dumb gal turns around and writes in the inner pleadings. Well, the note is, why is it lost? It's right there. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Well, Jesse, doesn't that beg the question of who is she representing?
I was just going to say, who is she really working for?
I mean, it just blew me away. It left me absolutely dumbfounded. So, but there's still time to save it. You know what I mean? Because if we set it for trial, they can't amend the complaint. Right, so now they're stuck without a note. And the other problem is it's now Nation Star. They've never done a substitute of the party plaintiff, so there's still old Aurora Home Loan LLC that's actually the plaintiff. So we can get rid of this thing at trial ASAP, but it's got to be set for trial now. You know what I mean? It cannot wait. So
when did
they
file the note?
No, they filed the note in 09 in the old case.
It's gone now. They probably, unless they got it back, the court destroyed it.
Probably so.
Huh. Is this an attorney I know?
No. Her name's Kelly something or other right here in Orange County. I have no idea. But she's just
Larry
a
just
retard.
Wants to know who to avoid.
Yeah, no. You're absolutely
I think her
dumb.
Last name was Mud.
Yeah. I'm sitting there reading and Danny's looking at me and my blood pressure's growing up. She's like, what's wrong, honey? And I'm like, you ain't going to believe this. So I started reading stuff out loud and my wife says, listen. I'm dumber than a dumb pro se. My own wife says that. She says, and I would never remind him where the note was. You know.
Jeez.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting.
What we deal with all the time.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, she needs to go down there to the records department and find out if that's been destroyed, but it almost certainly has 5 years later.
Yeah, well, not our problem, is it?
No, but you want to know going in, just in case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just so you know the facts. Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, with that done, congratulations, Dave, on your $1,500. I heard some good stuff out of you, Larry. And my wife got another $2,000, so everything's good. Everything's good.
Well, I actually forgot two things. One, I'm going to be filing either two or three more lawsuits tomorrow. But the other thing is, I believe I'm right at the point where tomorrow's going to be break point on another deal that I'm negotiating on. They're either going to pay me or we're going to go to lawsuit, and I'm going to make them an offer that they pretty much can't refuse, but it's going to be right where I wanted to be in the beginning, and that'll be a pretty substantial chunk of change. So if we get that deal done, we'll be able to talk about that next week, but that's going to be something real interesting. So I've had a good day myself, personally, and things are looking up. And on top of that, it was 83 degrees and sunny here today. So.
Yeah, really. And instead of snowing and colder than a bear's, you know what, in the woods, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was nice in the 80s here today, too.
Yep.
Yeah. That's nice.
All right. Well, let's look and see if there's anybody else that raised their hand. We've got two people, so let's see if we got any other good news. And this is for good news only, everybody. Don't be punching a button for anything else here. We're going to go to 773 for good news. You got any good news for us tonight?
Hello?
Hello, 773. You're unmuted. Go ahead, please.
All right, great. How you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, my good news is that you guys remember I was sharing with you guys about the several calls. I played poker with a law firm debt collector out in California. And they think the judge has sanctioned the attorneys and gave us an additional $2,500. So we got a check today. We got two separate checks, one for $9,000, and we got the second one for the sanctions at $2,500 for a total of $11,500.
Whee!
Wow. Fantastic. Good
and
job.
If you guys will remember, I was sharing this last week and the week before. They we played poker with them, literally, and this is from two cell phone calls and two home phone calls, and I only had one recording, and the lady didn't believe that I had a recording. And this is from my wife for a debt from some time ago. It was crazy. It started out as a FDCPA, but I missed that, but I said I'll get them on TCPA. But anyway, make a long story short, what happened was that they was dinging around, so the judge, we got it set up for next Tuesday for him to give him a call to let him know if we received the check. We just got the checks today, and we're very, very ecstatic about it. I'm telling you this, guys. This stuff is amazing. I commend you guys. I really do. Even though I wrote a book on credit and finance many years ago, about 24 years ago, this here is definitely worth the money that you pay every month, I'm telling you. Just based off of the little stuff there, I'm telling you, I made that and then some. So my first accomplishment with this thing was for $37,500 while I was helping a friend of mine out. And TCPA violations, 31 calls, and we settled with Progressive Financial Services for $37,500. And now we got this one here for the $9,000 plus the $2,500 sanctions that they imposed upon them to put on our end, which was fantastic.
That is.
That's great. Love it.
That is great. So don't forget to make some copies of those checks. Put them on the forum so I can send it out to all the lists.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. So that's my excellent news.
That is excellent.
Sounds like you
news.
Got a bit more money than maximum statutory damages, and that
I get
does
way
happen.
More because I alleged that they did six calls because I told my wife, I said, it is definitely more calls, but they settled. We settled the matter. And when I played the recording, guys, I wish you guys could have seen this or been there. I played the recording from my residential house phone that I don't even use anymore, a little digital recorder, and I said, ma'am, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to play one of the recordings that they left back because she said, no, they never left a recording. Well, just to let you guys know, I only had one recording, and it was on from the house phone. So I played it, and she called my bluff, and she called us back 2 days later saying that her client tripled the amount that we're eligible, you know, that we're eligible for, and I was telling her no, and then so she would say, well, we got to do discovery because I didn't call her back in a couple of days, or my wife didn't, and so when we called her back, she started, well, we got to set up discovery before we go to court Tuesday, and then here's the deal, here's the kicker. She was so scared to face the judge because she didn't know what type of sanctions they was going to get hit with because she wanted to get this thing done because they violated two of their motions that they never showed, and he was wondering.
Right.
So we figured out that this lawyer was only paying these guys just to write some paper and not appear in court. So that's our excellent news.
See what happens, though, when you violate the orders, the judge's order to show cause?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I'm real happy because this was only legally, officially between us guys. Listen, this was only two calls that was actually legitimate, and the two residential calls were ATDS as well. But they thought that it was, you know, six calls or whatever that I alleged, and I never even had to go that far for no discovery or anything. I just shook their boots, and that was it.
Well, again,
never play poker with you.
Yeah,
yeah.
More important. Yeah, more important to me is the fact that when you aggravate a judge, it can cost you a lot of money, and that goes for the pro se just as well as any attorney. So pay attention, please. That's all.
Awesome. Oh, absolutely. And this judge was awesome. This judge, I wish I had this guy for my lawsuit where I'm going to do a quiet title. I don't have a problem with my mortgage or anything like that, but I am going to do a quiet title. I've been studying on that.
Yeah.
Well, that's my good news, guys. I'm going to let the next person jump on and get airs.
Thanks very much. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, let's go to 202, see if we've got some good news here. 202, have you got good news for us?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
you're
can
on.
You hear me?
You got some good news for us?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is my first time calling. I'm just calling for a question.
Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold, and we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, we got one more in here. 717, do you have good news for us?
Oh, yeah, this whole call is good news. What can I say?
That sounds like Pennsylvania.
This would be Pennsylvania. I just want to let y'all know that the settlement was consummated before the 90 days with my case, and I'll be getting $1,100 and some a month from this debt collector for a good while now. And
that's somebody that couldn't afford to pay the lump sum, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was him.
So you have a debt collector making monthly payments.
That's just so sweet, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah. How come I haven't heard about this on the forum, man? Are you kidding me?
I'm going to throw it up there. He's going to pay me $1,100.
You're making payments. Tell us our system ain't strong. That is absolutely awesome.
Oh, yeah, I done reversed the of money.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's absolutely freaking crazy, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that's awesome.
Anybody that thinks you can't do something with this, there's a perfect example of somebody that has worked the system the way it's supposed to be done, and he now has a debt collector that's going to be paying him monthly payments for damages. Does it get much better than that?
Yeah.
No. You can start being the debt collector. Just be careful that they don't pay on time. If you call them, make sure you give them the mini Miranda.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure you're in compliance.
Yeah, you don't turn on them. Okay.
I tell you what. I will make sure. Look, since I'm the debt collector now, I have to give them the mini Miranda.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Fantastic job.
They're gonna be paying my rent, my car payment, and everything else for the next couple months. I don't have to pay anything. I just go to work, collect my checks, you know, sit back and relax, let them pay all my bills for a while.
I love it.
Oh, man,
good job. Good job.
Yep, good job, Bubba.
And I appreciate this call. I thank y'all so much for all that you do, and keep up the great work.
We're going to try.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
Okay.
I'll be listening.
Good buddy.
All right.
Good job. That's awesome, Dave.
Oh, man, that is, well, everybody, I mean, that kind of speaks for itself. A debt collector's paying him monthly payments. I mean, how do you say something's wrong with that? All right, let's go to 845. Have you got good news for us? You've been unmuted. 845. We're hearing noise in the background, but you're not talking to us. 845, one more time.
Dave, you're so nice. Mute. Done. Go to the next.
Yeah.
Is that me?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, you lucky guy. Saved by the bell.
Yeah. Well, when we call on you, you got to speak up. 845, is that you?
Yeah. Is that me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh,
you got good news
for us? I didn't know that I was unmuted. I didn't actually press one, but... So I don't have any good news, so I apologize. That is me. I thought I didn't press one, so apologize.
Okay. All right. Well, it shows you got that press. But if you've got a question, do you have a question or not, just so I know whether to come back to you?
No, not really. I'll raise my hand if I do. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. All righty, thanks. All right. Sometimes I don't know why it shows that somebody had their hand raised. Anyway, we've had a lot of good news tonight. I mean, you know, how can you argue with debt collectors paying payments to people?
You raised your hand. I've had my.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Okay, well, that's all the good news we had. Jesse, did you have any other announcements you wanted to make before we go to Q&A? Otherwise, we're going to dive right in. Where did Jesse go?
I'm here, buddy.
Oh, I just said, do you have any other announcements or anything, or do we need to go straight to Q&A?
I sent out an email today to for the roundtable. Just keep your eyes on it, guys. We got a few stragglers, some few lost checks, a few late people traveling. They're on vacation, whatever. So we should be getting started mid-next week sometime. So just give everybody a heads up. I sent out an email asking for times. So for those of you that are actually on the call tonight, make sure you check your emails if you're in, okay? That's all I needed to say.
Okay. All righty. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to open things up for Q&A. So all of you that have questions for tonight, please hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. We'll get you in. I am going to ask everybody to be concise in what you say, and I'm going to have to rein Jesse in if he starts getting a little too verbose, because we want to try and cover everybody that we get in the queue. I got to play the bad guy here, so, you know, I got broad shoulders. I can handle it, even though I am losing some weight. But anyway.
Yeah, you call him verbose, you call me mouthy.
Terry, you're the one that brought it out publicly. Okay. Let's go to 818 for your question. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
I'm assuming that's me.
I believe that must be you if you're area code 818,
right,
and we can hear you.
Yep. Thank you. Quick question. I've gone to bat with these debt collectors maybe about five times, and each time it forced them to settle. I've been out of practice here for probably about a year, and I got a debt collector raising her head over an alleged school loan. So I was wondering if there's anything on the site that I can access that will bring me up to speed, or if you're planning on having any training coming up that will help to possibly fill in the gaps for people that haven't done this in a while.
But there's plenty on the site. Yeah, there's plenty of webinars on the site. If you go over to the webinar section, the archives there, and just you'll see they're listed by or classified by subject matter. And you'll see there's a ton of stuff right there that's got I would figure hundreds of hours of listening. If you really, really wanted to get crazy with it, you could probably do that pretty good. So,
all right. Thank you.
Welcome back.
One of the areas you might want to look at there is case studies. Those are the webinars that Larry does. And there's a wealth of information on various things there.
Okay. Thank you.
That's true. Forgot about that. You're right, Dave.
Yep. You bet. That take care of you?
Yeah, he's done. He's good.
All righty. Let's go to 208. 208, you've been unmuted. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Hear me a little better.
Go ahead.
I had a medical debt a while back, and I don't have a home phone, so I put my cell phone down when I got admitted to the hospital, so forth. And now the debt collector is calling me on my cell phone. Now, I never gave the debt collector permission to call. I never had a contract with them, but they're telling me they haven't violated the TCPA. I believe they have because – but.
Go ahead.
Because I never gave them permission, and I don't have a contract with the debt collector.
Right.
But am I correct or not?
You are correct, and they are incorrect.
Okay. I just needed to confirm that. So, I've been a member.
The consent does not roll over from the original creditor to the debt collector.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, not only that, but just writing your phone number on a piece of paper is not consent.
Right. And I've been a member of the site, but because of medical reasons, I had to stop for a while, and I'm going to become a member again. Is there case information? Well, I guess I don't need case information. They have to provide a contract anyway. So, okay. Well, that's my question.
We have cases on the site that reflect your exact position. Yeah, okay. And there's a whole webinar on that on express and implied consent that's on the site, too, under TCPA. So, you know, you didn't give express or implied. You gave express to the hospital, and you didn't imply that they could give it to anybody else. So
yeah.
You're in good shape, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The debt collectors are going to lie to you, to buffalo you.
It's an attorney lying to me at this point, but that's
a foregone conclusion if their lips are moving.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right. I know there's other people, so I'll let you guys go. Thank you. You guys are doing a great job.
One little comment to that, if I may.
Sure.
A lot of times, yeah, they're lying because they're not telling you the truth, but they're lying out of their own doggone ignorance.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
But this is true as well. But the end result is they're wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part for you.
Yeah, and I've been reading through it, and I thought that was correct, but I just thought I would jump out real quick and ask and just to get another opinion. And so thank you, guys.
There you go.
All right, buddy.
That's what it is. It's not advice, that's for sure. Strictly an opinion.
Well,
thank you.
Strictly an opinion. My apologies. So
No. You said the right word. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Have a good
All
evening.
All right. Let's go to 678. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Well, hello. Yes, I was calling in regards to a actual garnishment from HOA dues. They filed a claim against me, and I never received any notification that I was going to be garnished. And they had called me, but I didn't know who it was. They called, and the only thing that the lady said on the phone was, "This is Inger, give me a call back." And that was it. I was wondering what steps or which direction I should look to try to dispute this or what have you.
Well, let's break this down. Who was it that garnished from you?
Okay, so the HOA company hired a law firm, and they are now – that was the people that contacted me, but on the actual – what is this called? The actual paperwork, it says the association's name, but the law
okay.
firm is the one that has been contacting me.
Is there any kind of a judgment against you?
Yes, there's a judgment against me.
Oh, okay. Have you researched the garnishment laws in your state?
It's in the state of Georgia. I've researched it to the point to, like, find out how much they can garnish me for and things like that, but I haven't done any deep, or I haven't seen anything deeper than that. Is there anything in particular that I should be looking for?
Well, the most important thing is how much notice they need to give you.
Oh, okay, yeah, I did see that. They said it says within the thing that I have 45 days to respond to the judgment, and I was not given 45 days to respond to the judgment. I will say that.
Okay. Well, you just need to break it down. And if an improper garnishment, let's see, would this be, if it was done by the attorney, it might be an FDCPA violation. But you said it was done directly by the HOA, which was the one who got the judgment.
Okay, so and the association hired a law firm. On the actual garnishment paperwork or the judgment, it has the association on it. But the people that contact me and or reached out to me and filed it is for the law firm. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the HOA can actually physically go do it. They'd have to have their attorney do it for them. Don't you agree, Larry? I don't think that they would do it.
Right.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, the action of doing it is different from whose name is on the paper. You know, the attorney can do it on behalf of the HOA, you know, file paperwork on their behalf, and it's really the HOA doing the garnishment.
Okay.
Except for the in terms of you know how you're doing the garnishment, but in terms of possibly violating FDCPA, then the attorney could be on the hook depending on the facts of the situation.
Okay, so where do you direct me that I could read up on it to see which way I should proceed from here? So is that about?
Well, I mean just. An example, if they were supposed to give you 45 days before they started garnishing and the attorneys didn't give, you know, they didn't allot 45 days, then I think they took an action they could not legally take, which by definition is a violation of FDCPA.
Okay.
And you got to look at your state laws. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeffrey. I know you want to say something.
If there was a judgment or an execution that came out of the court, wouldn't she have to have been served?
Yeah, I was never served. I don't even live in the state of Georgia anymore, so I live in Florida now, so I've never been served at all.
Okay, so you need to find out how they may have processed service on that, because they may have published it in the county legal newspaper.
Yeah.
And did it by publication as opposed to personal service. But
yeah,
you need to verify
the
that.
Court. Yeah, you need to contact the court and see if you can get copies of the documents out of there, out of the court file.
It's possible, maybe even likely, that the judgment itself is void and should
uh-huh.
be vacated.
You're saying because of what violation, which are you referring to?
You weren't properly served.
Okay, that I wasn't properly served. Okay. Okay, I hired an attorney, and that was after doing my research, I listed maybe like 3 or 4 things from the website that I saw were violations. Like, so let me ask you this question. So with her leaving a message on my phone the way she did, like, just...
Hey, wait. Stop. You know, it went right above our head, Larry. She lives in Florida now. They can't garnish her in Florida. The Florida garnishment laws, if you're head of household, they can't do it.
Okay, so you're saying, okay, so I live in Florida now, and you're saying
that's
can't garnish because I live in Florida now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there has to be a hearing for the garnishment, and if you're head of household, all you say is, no, you can't garnish me, and they're done.
Really? Oh.
Really? Both of us. I'm like, wait a minute, this is Florida. She said she moved to Florida. Yeah, so now you're a resident of Florida. They're screwed over there. Good luck.
Okay, so what are my next steps? Do I need to hire a lawyer here in Florida? Do you have any suggestions, or what do I need to do?
Where do you live in Florida?
I live in Hollywood, Florida.
You're down
in
south?
In Miami. Like, yeah, down south, southern Florida.
Yeah, I don't know anybody down there, but it's easy enough to find somebody down there. Just look in the yellow pages or online.
I was just scared based on the comment that the gentleman said earlier in the call, saying that if you make sure you hire the right lawyer. That's the reason why I asked that question.
So that was me. Yeah, we don't recommend attorneys to nobody because we've beat the crap out of the ones we have.
We
know how to beat them up. See, that's the difference. You don't know how to beat them up. We do. So, you know, it's even hard on us to do that sometimes. But at the end of the day, you live in Florida. You have nothing to worry about. You're head of household, yes or no?
Yes, I'm the only person that lives in my household.
You're head of household. They're not going to garnish you. They can't. And if they try, Larry already told you. You already have an FDCPA action against them. You haven't been notified, yada, yada, yada. But let them try to touch anything here in the state of Florida, and it's over.
Okay, so they have me listed living in Atlanta still. So what do I guess, what are my next steps? I don't know what to do. I don't understand what I need.
Your next step is make sure you let them know you don't live in Atlanta anymore.
Okay.
You got to tell them I don't live there anymore.
So I would contact the lawyer's office and say, I no longer live in Atlanta. I'm the head of the household and live in Florida.
Wouldn't
and you
tell
can
them anything other than, why would you have to go through any of that? I live in Florida. That's all. Your job is not to educate the attorney, is it?
No, I understand that, but like if I call them and say, I live in Florida now.
That's all.
That...
I live in Florida. What more do you need to say?
Okay. All right.
Jesse, question for you. I don't know the answer to this, but in order to be head of household, as per the law, don't you have to have a dependent?
That's
no.
Well,
head of your household, you have nothing else. You are the only one there.
Okay, so, but like he mentioned.
But an individual, you're filing income taxes. You're not head of household unless you have a dependent. So I don't know the definition according to Florida state law.
That I don't, I'm not sure. I'd have to, I did one for, no, I did that for Ryan. And Ryan was single. And he won.
Okay.
But
yeah.
You can always take the position of she has to water the lawn, because if she doesn't water the lawn, it will die, so the lawn is a dependent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you know what?
Okay,
take the guy next door and say he's your boyfriend. That's all. Doesn't matter.
So
you don't have to verify that to nobody.
So I can just simply say, I can just simply call them and say, I don't even live there anymore. I live in Florida now. And because the garnishment has already begun, they've already started taking the money out of my account, so they would have to immediately stop it. Is that what you're saying?
What do you mean they're taking money out of your account?
Yeah, don't expect it to be that easy. They're not going to just fall over. You talk to.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I understand that, but I guess. Okay. All right.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Why are you leaving money in an account where they can take it?
No, they're not garnishing my bank account. They're garnishing my wages.
Okay. Well, you said they were taking it out of your account.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
Oh, okay. I apologize. They're garnishing my wages. I misspoke.
Okay.
They're garnishing my wages, and they served the company that I work for at the Georgia location, but I don't even live there.
Well,
so,
you need to inform your employer that they are unlawfully withholding funds from your check because you are not in Georgia. You are a Florida resident.
Okay.
That's one thing that I think you'd want to do, but you need to pursue the other stuff like Jesse and Larry said.
Hire yourself an attorney, go after them under the FDCPA, hammer down on them.
What did you say? What was that term? Okay.
You're obviously not a member, are you? You're not a member.
No, actually, I am a member. I've been a member for like 2 weeks, but I'm just now starting to read on this.
Oh, okay.
I signed up about 2 weeks ago, but I just started reading on Sunday. So I'm just now learning.
All right.
Dave,
what's
the name of that law firm? Dave, what's the name of that law firm that you've on occasion recommended?
That I've recommended Weisberg and Myers.
Could you spell that for me, please?
Weisberg and Myers. I believe it's Meyers. If you start typing it in on Google, you'll find them.
Okay.
They're consumer attorneys nationally.
Okay, but the biggest thing, because I actually already started paying another lawyer to, in order to pursue them as far as them not serving me. So should I just tell my lawyer to just scratch that and just say you need to contact the company or the lawyer and just say I no longer live in Florida? So is that
I don't know how competent is a lawyer.
And where is that attorney, Georgia or Florida?
Yeah.
The attorney's in Georgia.
He can't practice unless he's licensed in Florida. He can't do anything for you here in Florida.
No, but the best thing for her would get that judgment vacated. And if he can do that, she's in really good shape.
Yeah, okay. I agree 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that has to be done in Georgia, not in Florida.
Okay, so the attorney that I have already hired in Georgia, I should ask them to vacate the judgment.
Vacate the void judgment.
Yeah,
because
if he doesn't know how to do that, then you need to find another attorney.
You bet.
Okay.
That's the only thing he needs to do, but he needs to do it well and immediately.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Make sure you make it very clear to him that this judgment is void on its face and not merely voidable.
Void on its face?
Right.
Right. That means it's already void. You're not going to try and void the judgment. It is already void, and you want to vacate the void judgment. And it's void because you were never properly served.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you so much.
And if the lawyer can't understand that, you better find a different one.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you. All right, well, you never know what you're going to run into, do you? Let's go to 305. 305.
Hey, guys. Jonathan
good evening.
Miami. Good to be
How
back
you doing?
On the line. I'm doing great. Just working on getting some stuff ironed out on this settlement with Bayview. Just having a little bit of problems with these guys. They're claiming to be the servicer. Now, on the agreement, it states that they are the servicer, which I don't agree with. So we're fighting back and forth about this. They're saying, wherefore, Bayview is the servicer for that certain mortgage. So, I mean, is this really – I think it's an issue, but, is it really an issue?
I don't know. Is it an issue? I mean, they have to prove it to you.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. How are they –
Have you filed
a
federal lawsuit?
Yeah, this is the lawsuit. This is the settle for the suit. And I said, this is why we're having this lawsuit, guys. You know, you're claiming that you're this, that, and the third, but you have not proved anything to me. They said, oh, well, we got the letter, and we have that. I said, well, I don't care about the letter. My cousin could send me a letter. Bill from down the block could send me a letter saying that they're the new servicer. That means nothing. So I just want to make sure I'm on the right path and I'm not fighting on this issue. To me, it's a big issue, you know, because they're saying they're the servicer, and I don't see how they're the servicer. They came out of left field and say, hey, we're your servicer now, you know. So it is an issue. I just want to make sure that I got that part down, you know. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to prove it. I mean, we might have to go to trial. And the other issue that I have is that on the agreement it says that we will waive the jury trial arising out of the agreement, thinking that might not be a big deal, but I'm not sure. You know, I mean, my logic on that is, you know, why does it really need to be there if they have nothing to hide?
Yeah.
You know? Well, we've talked about this a bunch of times. If there's a agreement, a contract, you know, a mortgage, whatever, that waives jury trial, that's all well and good. But who's a party to that?
Yeah, well, that's a separate one.
Who claims to be a servicer or a party to that? No.
Yeah. Well, this is actual waiver of jury trial in the settlement agreement itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I'm thinking it might not matter, but I don't know if they try to pull the – I just don't trust these guys at all, so I don't like it. I mean, is that logic – does that sound right in that logic or –
Yeah, but I don't know how they're relevant and why you couldn't just say no. This is what I'm not doing. It's got nothing to do with the case at hand, right?
Yeah, but that's what I'm telling them. That's exactly what I'm telling them. And we've been going back and forth now for about 3-4 days. About the them baby being the servicer. I said I would not agree to that. They are not the servicer. So they went ahead and emailed me a letter from the previous servicer, Bank of America, saying that, look, there's a letter from Bank of America stating that Bayview is the new servicer.
Okay. Well, I don't know what kind of settlement you have, but understand that a claim for a jury trial and a lawsuit is more of a threat than anything else because you're not going to get to a jury in 99.9% of the cases anyway.
Right.
And then my other thing is, you know, I'm thinking about trying to stretch it out because at the end of August, 5 years statute of limitations has expired. And I think that I received a letter from the attorney representing the so-called note holder trust, Bank of New York Mellon. Their attorney sent me a letter threatening to collect on the note as well. I sent them a debt validation. It's been, you know, 40 days now. They have not responded. So I think they're up to something. And so I'm thinking I might just want to throw them on top of this case, add them on.
Well, you should, and I'll tell you why. Because typically with the Bank of America mortgages, we see that they're either done through MERS or private securities. And Bayview represents themselves to be a servicer, but you'll find if you go through foreclosure, you know, actual adjudicated foreclosures in South Florida in particular, that they become a substitute plaintiff towards the end of the case, and they're actually owned by a hedge fund, and they have a separate arm that then they flip the properties into and fix them up to sell them. So I'm not telling you that that's what your situation is, but it's worthy of investigation. That it's a fund that buys defaulted mortgages out of the trust or appears to purchase it out of the trust. Because remember, when a mortgage defaults, if it's in a trust and there's credit default swap insurance, the debt's been paid to those investors.
Yep.
And so they're just collecting on a hollow shell. It's just another case of what we talk about every week. So if I were you, I'd do a little bit more homework on that side of it, but I definitely think about adding the trust in.
Yeah, I think I'm going to add them. Well, it's going to be the attorney collecting on behalf of the trust. I'm going to throw them in there.
Well, yes, the attorney on behalf of the trust, if it was me, the trust, the Bayview, any representative of Bayview's had a representative crop up, and Bank of America.
Okay.
Where are you located?
South Florida, Dade County, Miami.
And are you familiar with Florida Statute 559.715?
515.
That's a very important one because they have to give you a notice of transfer. And if they haven't done that, there's plenty of cases in South Florida where the mortgage is the transfer is unenforceable, where they can't come and collect if they haven't notified you properly. So that's on the website. You're a member, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Assignment of consumer debts by creditor. The right to be.
Yeah, but if you go into the website in the pleading section of the form and go under Florida, there's a posting about 559.715 with a whole pile of case law. It'll blow your doors off, man.
Yeah, I put a bunch of it in there, man. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Okay. So I guess basically I'm just going to add everybody onto the case.
Let the party start, bro.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. All right.
Dave, let me – excuse me for a minute. I just want to bring this. I just got in my email from Tanner, and this is the importance of deposing these so-called witnesses that these servicers have. He says, the Hunter case is probably going to go down in my favorites list. The witness was Roger Martin. I don't know if anybody in our membership or listenership has got this guy as a witness in one of the cases. It says, it works for Rushmore Loan Services. I had Martin for deposition last week. He was the corporate rep. They picked him. His answers to the questions, such as when was the default and what records about this case did the custodian have and what are the duties of the custodian and when was the default letter sent, were great. He said he didn't know. He and Sergeant Schultz, Hogan's Heroes, have a lot in common. So there's
I know
the
nothing.
Yes, there's the you remember that, do you, Dave? So,
Oh, yes, I do.
This is the importance of deposing these people, not allowing, because a lot of our members, a lot of our listenership says, oh, but, you know, how do you prove this? I don't have to prove anything. I just start deposing the people on the assignments, their witnesses, their verifiers. You start deposing them, and they will tell you everything you need to know, which is nothing. So I just got this in my email. I'm going to put this go through the deposition, clean it up, put it on the site. So just, you know, think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, make them hang themselves. Just ask them questions and see how many they can't answer.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep, that's great. That's fantastic. Love that. All right. Let's go to 786. 786, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, everybody. This is Eddie in Miami. How are you guys doing?
How are you, buddy?
How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I have a question for you guys. I'm going to make this long story really short.
Very short, please.
Yeah, we got to do it short.
Yeah, I'm going to try it now. I have a case against debt collector ICS, IC system. The case has been going on for over a year. It's one credit pool, FDCPA, FCCPA, FCRA. The case is at the final stages because they filed a motion for summary judgment. I responded. The judge ordered the defendant to respond, to reply to my response, even though the rules doesn't call for that. The judge ordered them to defend, to respond to my response. They responded today, the last day. On their response, they make a lot of arguments claiming that my response was fraudulent and all kinds of things. This is Golden Scouts. Golden Scouts, yeah.
Okay.
Fraudulent.
All right, go on. I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
I'm trying to do fraud to the court because my argument was on. They saying that they have my social security number, but you know they only provide the last four and the responses. And they say they have my right phone, my right cellular phone number, but they only provided the last four numbers of the cellular phone. So I went ahead and responded saying that's not mine, that's not my social security number. That's not my phone number, okay?
Well, hold on 1 second. The rules of judicial administration require them to do that. That doesn't mean they don't have it. That's just how they have to report it if they're putting that into a...
Right.
Okay. So, well, I went ahead and denied everything in my response. Now they're saying that I committed fraud because I did that. Well, on the notes they provided, you know how they provide all the notes of all the information they got from the alleged original creditor? They never got the right number. They have the phone number was, they only have, they didn't get the area code. They have a 954 plus the right number, but they didn't get that 305 that they were supposed to get. They called that number 102 times, okay, until they finally realized that they have the wrong number. So I said, well, even they have the wrong number, actually, because of the notes. So I can fairly assume that they didn't have my right Social Security number because they only provided four numbers. So the question is...
Oh, hold on again. You can't assume anything like that. Did they specifically state that they were redacting a portion of it?
No, they didn't say that. They didn't say anything like that. They only say that they provided my three bankruptcies. I filed three bankruptcies because I have a foreclosure going on, and I filed three bankruptcies. They're saying that according to the bankruptcy filings, all the information is the same, which is wrong, because on the bankruptcy filings, you never provide your whole phone, your full Social Security number. They only get the last four. That's all they get. They don't get the full number.
They specifically stated that these four numbers were your Social Security number. Is that correct or not?
Yeah. They say that.
All right. That's really odd.
Okay. Well, what I want to do, and the question is this, what I want to do is I want to put on the records the notes in where I can prove that they don't have the right phone number. They never had it. They never had it. They tried to get the right number through skip tracing, according to the notes. It's a statement in there. Try to get the number through skip tracing. They never got it. Even through skip tracing, they never got it. So I'm trying to put the notes on the case. The question is this, how do I do that? I file a judicial notice, or I file a motion to supplement
the
response?
You would have made an argument of that in your response to the summary judgment.
I
you
did
would have
make
provided
the argument.
That as evidence. No. You would have provided those documents as evidence along with your response to summary judgment.
I never provided. That was my mistake.
Okay.
Now I'm trying to correct that, but I don't know if I can file a motion to supplement or division notice or how you guys approach
the only, it. Yeah, I don't know whether you could get away with an amended response to their summary judgment.
Well,
what do you think, Larry, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm just thinking. You can do an amended. You can do an amended. Remember, this is state level. This is not circuit. Or circuit level, not district. You can do an amended motion in opposition to summary judgment. Yeah, you can absolutely do that. You can supplement it.
This is federal court, Jesse.
Oh, it's federal court.
This is federalized student under the FCCPA, FCRA.
Yeah.
Well, then you can. You're going to have to ask for the judge to amend.
Request leave to file an amended response.
Leave to file an amended response.
A motion for leave to file amended response to their motion for summary judgment.
And then attach the notes.
You would do whatever wording changes you need to make and then provide that information that's relevant.
Well, the problem is this. The judge yesterday, a day before the deadline that they gave them to respond or to reply to my response, the judge ordered already instructions for the jury trial and everything. She orders everything because we already passed discovery, we already passed everything. By Monday, we're supposed to file a motion in limine, and we're supposed to get ready for pre-trial stipulations and everything. So I don't know if she's going to like that motion. So I thought maybe I can get away with filing a motion to supplement response, or maybe see what she's there.
Now, the only thing you'd be able to do outside of that would be a sir reply, but your qualifications with what you're wanting to do does not qualify for a sir reply. A sir reply is another reply to theirs where they bring new evidence in, which means that in their response where you get to counter that. So a sir reply isn't going to work either. Yeah,
well,
you're right down there at the end.
Yeah,
it's a game of chicken now.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess I will file a motion for leave to supplement, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Let me ask you a very straightforward question. Have you talked to them about settlement?
This is, okay, this is a law firm, Golden Scars, here in Florida. These people are something else. They push all the way down to the end, and then they never provide anything. And
They don't that is their modus operandi.
Yeah, and they don't want to say it. I try.
Okay,
all right.
Well, that was a legitimate question. I wanted to find out. You know, Larry and Jesse know about Golden's Gas.
Yeah, here's the thing. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do or say. They will not respond to discovery. In fact, I've told this story before. I won an emotion to compel against them 2.5 years ago. And next week, Marshall is taking him to a hearing to get a default and sanctions against them for refusing to abide by the court's order to compel them to provide discovery. They will not do it, the court order.
There's a girl here, a lady here in Miami, Grace, that you know. She have a case with the same attorneys against Global, or I can't remember who was the party, and they never provided anything. The court, she filed a motion to compel. They were in front of the judge. They said they were going to respond. They never responded. And at the end, before the pretrial stipulation, they settled.
Wow.
They settled the case.
By the way, they're the ones who filed that motion. They were representing Alliance One, motion for sanctions, which was beaten down. So guess who's getting sued?
Oh.
But anyway.
Okay.
All right. Well,
guys,
we got to keep moving, guys.
Yeah, keep
Thank
trucking,
you very much.
Man.
Thank you very much, guys. Good night.
All righty. Let's go to 702. I wonder if that's Rodney. 702, you've been unmuted. Go ahead. Can't be Rodney because he would have spoken up by now. 702, one more time. If you don't speak up, we're going to move past you. All right, we're going to go to 503. 503, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I'm a newbie, and I wondered if when I get inside the members area, if they have contact information for Dynamic Recovery Solutions. They gave me two unsolicited calls about a neighborhood HOA bill that I have not paid. They just left their name and a telephone number, never mentioned who they were. And I also got a nasty letter from an attorney where they upped the charge from $385 that I owe to $1,250. Plus, I'm in a foreclosure with GMAC, but that's another one. But is Dynamic Recovery Solutions, has anybody heard of them?
Google it.
Do you have a pen handy?
Yeah.
Okay, P.O. Box 25759, Greenville, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
29616-0759.
Okay.
John, did you just Google them?
No, I had a piece of paper sitting there.
I got the number. They rent local numbers, I guess. I'm in Portland, Oregon. And they called only twice, and I got my phone bill. I mean, my phone records, and they said, call Joe Smith or Ann Smith. You know, they didn't say. They just said it was a Dynamic Recovery Solution. They didn't say what it was about. And obviously, they never had my permission to call. The HOA hired an attorney locally here, and he wrote me a nasty letter and saying the bill was $385. Now that was due in July. They've jacked it up to $1,250, And he didn't go through and itemize what was owed or why it was owed. Plus, one of his underlings called and said, call George Washington at 503 whatever, and he didn't leave his reason for calling or who he really was. So I think I have three calls right there. Plus the fact
right.
I want to share, I'll be back on another call.
When was the first call? When was the first call?
The first call was December 2nd, 2013. The second call was January 17th, 2014.
And you've got nothing in the mail from Dynamic Recovery?
Never a peep.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not the HOA I live in. It's the neighborhood HOA, and they're scoundrels.
No. But the debt collector calling you and not sending you written notification of what he's calling about
no, sir.
Within five days of the contact, that's a violation. So,
okay.
Right.
Is that all on the inside?
Yeah.
You
yep.
got to get
the
in
website.
There and study.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, anyway, I'm in one of the worst foreclosure situations you can imagine. My loan is with the worst, GMAC, which you all know is dead but not buried. They're in bankruptcy court up in New York State. And my loan was securitized to a bank, and they filed a judicial foreclosure, which is very rare in Oregon. It's usually non-judicial courthouse steps. They filed judicial foreclosure about May 16, 2013. Today we have March 11, 2014. Nothing has happened. The original attorneys in December jumped ship, bailed out, they were fired, and now there's some other people that got involved. And all I got was basically a first-class letter telling me that they were representing the plaintiff. My attorney never heard from them. My attorney never got the motion for the second continuance. I mean, it is the most screwed-up thing I have ever seen. And we're going on months and nothing's happened. And it's going
to
be up the 17th of March. In fact, I'm going to the courthouse to see what happened, the downtown courthouse, to see what happened tomorrow. Have you guys heard of anything like this?
Yeah,
of course.
Things like that happen all the time, and you're in a good situation to make a lot of money off of it. You just got to dig
yeah.
into the website and deal with it. And as far as them, you know, if they abandon the lawsuit or no one shows up, you can do a motion to dismiss for lack of prosecution, but
yep.
someone will probably show up. They might not be the party that's on the docket,
yeah.
and then, you know, check your local rules and your state rules and see if you can just have them knocked out of the box where they can't even speak because they're not on the docket, is representing the
well,
plaintiff.
They've never filed any paperwork in the county courthouse where they had taken over from the other attorneys. I don't know whether that's necessary or kosher, but it's still the old attorneys that file anything. They have not, and I, since December when the old law firm vacated, bailed ship or whatever, and these people took over, that I have not seen anything filed in the courthouse, in the county courthouse. It's the weirdest damn thing I've ever seen.
Well, in addition
to
digging into the website,
read
your
stories.
Rules.
Yeah.
Right. Read your rules so that you study them, because one thing you want to be able to do is drive your own attorney since you have one. If you know the rules, you can tell him what to do and make sure he's doing the right thing for you.
Yeah, at $350 an hour, I think I need to find a new attorney. He doesn't. He just said to me, you owe the money, forget it. This was in June. He said, just let him foreclose.
You can do it
so
yourself
you can't pay it
if
off,
you study.
You know?
He said to let him foreclose.
Yeah, he said, he said, you're in the business, real estate business, and he was recommended by all the realtors who all know him. He said, well, you took the money, didn't you? I said, well, I took it from GMAC. I didn't take it from XYZ Bank and wherever the hell they are. And they securitize the loan, which you talk about. And to me, my forensic guy here told me they don't have the real goods on goods. They don't really have. It may not even be in that that investment. It could be a fraud.
Well, you need to get into the website. You got a lot of studying to do.
Yep.
You do. You really do. It sounds to me like you need to get another attorney, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got an old buddy of mine who helped my grandmother and I out 20 years ago. I'm going to go see him. Well, listen, you guys, you're doing a great thing, and I'm going to be joining up pronto. Thanks a lot.
All
right.
Appreciate you. Very good.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to 561. See if we got somebody there. 561, you've been unmuted.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Pretty
good.
How are you?
Good, thanks. We spoke last week a bit about a foreclosure. I'm in Broward County. Moved back into the house. The key issue was they had I had an attorney for years making this thing go around on the treadmill, but they were going nowhere, and I really wanted to make this thing, you know, stop and go somewhere. I told them to stop. They filed a motion to withdraw, which they did. At the same time, the judge filed a motion to set for trial for foreclosure. Okay, so when we spoke last week, go ahead. Excuse me?
I said I remember. Go ahead.
Okay, good, thanks. So, yeah, so we went ahead and filed that motion to dismiss. Based on the fact that there was a difference in the plaintiff somehow, strangely, between the previous, you know, motions that they had filed and the most recent. And so we went ahead and, did our motion to dismiss based on that. I think the clerk somehow made another clerical error. And somehow asking us that, you know, has everybody been served and is everybody needs to be served and everything. And so in any case, I don't know if I can mention the names of the plaintiffs, you know, the prior and the current, but basically Citibank NA,
yeah.
You know, Citibank NA is the current, and then Citibank NA for trustees, yada, 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 for this other entity. And
right.
So there were clearly two different entities. And so that's why you guys were saying, you know, good idea that, you know, you take a look at this thing, that maybe it's good, you know, just file a motion to dismiss, which we went ahead and did based on that. So in any case, they said that we should file notices to everyone, which I, you know, that's fine. Let them all know. I'm, you know,
and what do you mean by notices? You're dragging out this question. You file a motion to dismiss.
Okay.
You got a certificate of service that goes out to everybody involved in your case. Standard protocol.
Right.
It's not
okay.
Out of the ordinary. You mandatory.
Okay, but everybody involved in the case. But who's everybody involved in the case? Because now the case has changed. Because now there's a new plaintiff.
Doesn't matter. You got to send it to them too.
Right. We sent it to them too. But we sent it to the old people as well.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, let's clarify this. You need to send it to every attorney who is still of appearance in the case.
Okay. So which we did.
Okay.
Well,
okay. So now the next thing is, so now, go ahead.
No, I said now. So what's the question?
All right. So they set a hearing for this foreclosure. So how's best to defend it, number one? We just basically show up with the paperwork that I've had previously and the paperwork that I have the most current and showing that the plaintiffs have changed. To me, it's because they're so similar, it just seems odd that, you know, that they're different. But I guess they're different entities based on the names on the headings.
They are, yeah. So you just got to set your motion for hearing is all. That's all you can do.
All right, so we've got our hearing. So how's best to defend it, number one?
In your motion is how you defend it. There's no best way to defend it. Whatever you claimed in your motion is what you stick by.
I'm no one to be. I'm a pro se. You know, step one. Okay, so I'm in no means equipped to defend this thing in any way. Is there anyone that you can refer me to? Or I know you mentioned this guy Tanner and. I'm in Broward County. I don't know if that helps at all.
Lord have mercy. I don't know of anybody down in Broward County other than Jingo, and he's so damn expensive, it'd cost you an arm and a leg. That's part of the reason we don't recommend these guys, and we recommend you do it.
Yeah. I understand. I'm not sure what to do now. I mean, I can show up.
I just don't want to get smoked by these guys who are so good at smoking guys that don't know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, well, most of them don't know what they're doing. That's the funny part. So,
Well, funny for you guys. You've been through it a couple of times, but this is my first rodeo, and I'm unclear, and I really need for this to at least come my way for a little while.
Well, have you set your motion for hearing?
They set a motion for hearing. We went ahead and set a motion to dismiss. They immediately set a hearing.
On the motion to dismiss?
Correct.
That you filed?
That I filed. And it's in a month, less than a month.
Oh, God, that's more than enough time for you to get this under wraps and tackle them when you get in there. Whatever you base your motion on is
Okay. I mean, it's kind of basic what I'm basing it on. I'm just concerned that I may be missing. They can't come out of the woodwork and just say, hey, you know, it's a clerical error. I'm sorry. We made a mistake. You know, are they allowed to do that sort of thing?
Not usually.
Not usually. You wouldn't think so. But, I mean, you know, they're so similar, Citibank N.A. and then Citibank N.A. as trustees for, and a big, long name after that. And I'm like, come on, that's not
you're
the same.
You're alone, man. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. They're different entities. So that's what we're basing it on, and it's that simple as far as we're concerned. And it was last time we talked, so now, you know, we've done our motion, and so I'm just trying to follow up as to my next step. So I've got a hearing date.
Have you sent debt validation letters out to the attorney that's the foreclosing attorney and to the entities that are trying to foreclose?
Debt validation letters to them?
Uh-huh.
No. No,
yeah.
I have not.
Yeah, you definitely want to
send
that law.
And, here's another thing. I mean, the last lot, I mean, I haven't made a payment on this property, which I'm currently living in gosh knows how long. I mean, 2009. How many years is that? It's at
enough.
Least five,
good,
over
yeah.
5 years. Yeah. So, I mean, and we're,
well, John,
you know,
just asked you about the validation letter.
Yeah.
Let him finish what he was
going
to say, please.
You're going
go ahead.
Tangents. So if you haven't sent them a debt validation letter off, you need to type one up tonight and be the post office first thing in the morning. Send it certified return receipt to the attorney, that trust, the entity that's trying to foreclose. Anyone else has touched this thing, get the damn things in the mail tomorrow and be ready to file a federal lawsuit against them. Because if you file the federal lawsuit by the time you go to that hearing, you'll have something to talk to them about beforehand because they won't be able to validate what they're doing. And now, when did they file the complaint against you?
The foreclosure complaint? Like,
yes.
About 2009, I guess.
Oh, so this has been in with Jesse. That's before the verified complaint, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's been long enough to kill him on the
statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations.
That's right.
Right, you can get it dismissed for that. Plus, if they're trying to do it under some other entity, if you're listening to the call earlier, we're talking about Florida Statute 559.715, and there has to be a notice of transfer. So if you dig into the website and study, you can come up with a whole boatload of things to argue that are all valid, but you need to send the debt validation letters off and think about putting a federal lawsuit together, which isn't that difficult. It's very easy.
I wrote down that statute, thank you very much, when I was listening earlier. And this
website
letter, is there some sort of template that you have on the website or something that I can...
There's examples of everything on the website, examples.
Okay.
So you go in there, it's really simple.
And
you know,
to find it, all you got to do is do a search for a validation letter.
Okay.
It's something as simple as saying, you know, this isn't a refusal to pay, but a dispute, the debt, and a demand validation.
Right.
That's the gist of it.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
That gets you some direction.
It does. It helps me a lot. Thank you very much.
Build your confidence,
right, you
man.
Bet.
You can get through it. Trust me.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks,
Bob. All right. Let's go to 816. 816, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I was calling because, or my question is regarding foreclosure. I've been battling PNC since 2010, and since then I got a summary judgment against me. Huh?
You said battling who?
PNC Mortgage.
Oh,
which
TNC.
PNC. And they're right. Not the original mortgage company. I've caught them up in lies in court. I even got them to submit a different mortgage note than what they started in their petition. And long story short, I got a summary judgment against me, even though the two trials were canceled, one by the court and then one by the attorneys. Since then, I filed bankruptcy and got the discharge, but PNC has still sent collection notes from me, collection letters to me, and now they're still trying to foreclose on me. And in the
summary
foreclosure
judgment,
document.
They already said they got summary judgment, that means you're foreclosed. So what do you mean they're still trying to foreclose on you?
Oh, because I went to I filed bankruptcy, which stopped the sale.
Well, it stopped
and
the sale. It's already been foreclosed upon.
Nope, I'm still in the home.
I understand that, but they've already foreclosed upon you. Now they're just waiting for the sale. Look at the language you're saying. They've already got summary judgment. That means they foreclosed on you. Now all they're waiting for is the sale to happen.
Okay, so how do I remedy that? Because I know...
It's almost 100% positive you cannot.
Okay. So
summary judgment, at this point in time in the game, it's almost impossible to reverse that. Literally almost impossible.
Well, wait a minute. She says she's in bankruptcy.
No,
I filed bankruptcy.
Yeah, but it was discharged already, Larry.
The BK was already discharged.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Mr.
Yeah, so trying to get a summary judgment reversed at this point by a judge is almost next to impossible.
Dismissed. Was the bankruptcy discharged or dismissed?
It was discharged. The debt was discharged.
Was it a 7 or a 13?
A Chapter 7.
Oh, okay.
And there's still...
Yeah, giving up everything.
I'm sorry?
But 7 means you're basically giving up everything.
Yeah, that's liquidation.
Yeah, you're not restructuring.
Right.
You're just saying, you know, here's all my stuff, including the house.
Exactly.
Well, in the language of the documents that the attorneys just filed, it was stating that I was... they had a judgment against me of the mortgage that was actually discharged. So they're using the amount that they're saying that I owe, but technically it was discharged through the bankruptcy court, and they're using that, and they're going forward with the foreclosure on that note.
No,
so
it's not a foreclosure. It's a sale. They're going to move forward on
a sale. Oh, with
the sale.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they have the right to do that. They absolutely have the right to sell.
Right.
Have to get rid of
the
house.
The foreclosure is all done. Your bankruptcy doesn't reverse that. It doesn't mean that the debt was discharged and you get the house. Otherwise, everybody would do that.
Yeah, it just means
Not only does it not reverse it, it actually confirms it.
Exactly.
So you're going to have to move. There's ifs, ands, or buts about it. But here's a secret, or here's a little trick.
Uh-huh.
Are they asking you for any money at all?
Yes, they have.
See, Larry, that's where they violated the terms of the bankruptcy, because if it was absolutely discharged in bankruptcy,
right,
any attempt to collect on her is a violation of the FDCPA. And what state are you in?
I am Missouri.
Okay, probably your state law just as well. But there's no doubt whatsoever that they have violated the FDCPA.
FDCPA. Yeah, and that's what I was going to go and do. I was going to go and open up a federal case against the attorneys because they have tried to collect from me. Actually, their filing of the foreclosure is actually based off, you know, the amount of the note that's owed. The PNC, and I wonder if there's anyone else that I should include in these lawsuits, and should I just do one lawsuit against everyone, or should I do
one against everybody, but one against everybody, but at the end of the day, of the day, you have to figure out who's ever touched it is going to be guilty.
Okay.
Okay, did that take care of you?
Yes, well, I just have a question. So some of the violations is the FDCPA. Is there anything else that I'm missing?
You got to check your state law because you might have something under the unfair and trade deceptive there in Missouri also, in your Missouri consumer protection law. That's something we don't, you know, we don't know each state, so it's impossible. We just know the popular ones.
Yeah. Yeah, check your consumer protection statutes for Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's what you do, really. All right, sweetie. Good luck with that.
Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Thank you.
All right.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, let's go to 781. We got to keep moving, everybody. We want to try and get to the point with everything so we can get as many people in as we can. 781, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is John in the Boston area. Have a question. I've just received a 150-day right to cure, and they're alleging the total payments, but they're adding in insurance payments, which are erroneous because I've been paying the bill all along myself. And they, of course, at the end of these letters, give you the opportunity to contest or to disagree. Now, my question is it best to, and I've received two of these letters, they're actually copies. One was certified and the other arrived several days later. So essentially they've made allegations for payments, adding those insurance payments in two times. So my question would be, should I respond to that and disagree with them, or just, and does that boost my case for the erroneous collection activity that they're alleging in those letters?
Well, did they misrepresent the amount of the debt?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes.
Well, that's
a
violation of FDCPA, isn't it?
Right. I agree.
Okay. But, have you got your lawsuit ready yet?
No, I'm working on it right now. I'm actually working with an attorney, have been, for foreclosure defense, but, you know, I'm presenting my things. It's a reputable law firm. It's not somebody I found on the street. But,
you need to get them to understand that the one of the best defenses is a good offense.
Them meaning the attorney's office or...
Make sure your attorneys understand that they need to be on the ball and file a suit against
yes. Yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah.
In federal court.
Yes, in federal court, exactly. What do you know about the we're having a meeting the other day. We have a group up here of quite knowledgeable people, some of whom are members of the, you know, What Lies in Your Debt. Somebody mentioned the other day as we were breaking up, you know, put a tenant in your house, and that keeps it out of federal court. Do you know anything
what?
About put
a tenant
if you
in your
have
house?
A t-
if anything,
if
had
you have
a
tenant
court.
In a lease, can't move it to federal court. I mean, that's, you know, you're laughing, but that's what I was told.
No, I know that. That's why, you know, you need to stay a member.
I'm here every Tuesday and, you know, other times when I can be. But go ahead, explain that.
Nothing to explain. That's not real.
It's called nonsense.
A foreclosure is never in federal court, so it's irrelevant whether you have a tenant or not.
Wait, say that again?
A foreclosure
is never.
Never takes part or place in a federal court. So what does having a tenant have to do with it?
Good point. Yeah. It's
right?
I guess you get some money out of it. What can I say? You pay the attorney. Look at the bright side, the silver line.
No, if you have a house that's rentable, you have every right to rent it and collect rent on it. Your foreclosure action is a lawsuit against you. You have the right to defend it, and until that's decided, that's your money. End of story. And anybody who tells you any different or interferes, sue them too, because that's tortious interference.
Anybody who gives you bad advice, is that what you're implying?
No.
Anybody who interferes with you and your renter. If you have a house that's in foreclosure and you want to rent it, rent it. It's your house. It's not the bank's house. It's not the bank's money. It's your house.
Right. Right, of course.
So no, because
it was just about the question about the federal, federal court. And, okay, so I take my whipping on that.
Attorneys will say, it's in foreclosure. You're not supposed to make money on it when it's in foreclosure. Baloney. That's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
You have the right to defend the lawsuit. What happens if you win in the end?
No. We have somebody up here who's doing that.
Good.
And so, looking for a QWR. I'm on the site right now. I'm looking for a QWR to respond on this 150-day right to cure. Like, kind of send it off immediately. I sent a QWR a couple of years ago. They didn't respond to one. Then we got one out of the law office, and they, jumped all over it and got right back to us and alleged all sorts of incongruous and inconsistent information, which we loved, of course.
Of course.
Okay, so. Looking for what have you got for a late letter?
I would send a debt validation letter.
Exactly.
Excuse me.
Send a debt validation letter. They have alleged a debt that they have alleged you've defaulted at a certain time. They've alleged a bunch of things, and you send them a debt validation letter, something that says this is not a refusal to pay, but I dispute the debt and I demand validation. It's on the website. You'll find an example. Send it certified return receipt to the law firm. Send it to the company that's saying you owe the money. Send it to the bank, anyone else that's involved. You send them, and then you can pull them all into your federal suit. And I just want to be clear, because you were rattling off so much stuff, that the FDCPA action that'll be in federal court is completely separate and distinct from a foreclosure action. If they file foreclosure in state court, you fight that in state court, and you don't do a counterclaim against them. You just file a federal FDCPA action against them, all of them.
In federal court.
It's a separate lawsuit, and you can do that yourself without your attorney.
Right. No, I'm aware of that. I am aware of that.
I just want to make sure you're on the right direction.
Yeah, so the foreclosure is one place, and the FDCP is in the federal.
Two completely different deals. Right.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Okay, so back to where I started the phone call, when the letter comes, which came in, and they're throwing in some insurance payments, which have been paid, so they're trying to garnish them and take them. That's strictly FDCPA, and just...
That's what you're demanding validation of what they're alleging, and you don't have to say a lot of words. You say a very few words. It's just like Pythagoras said: do not say little in many words. Say great deal in a few words. You want to get your point across with as few words as possible, but to meet the statute, and you can sue them for them violating when they don't validate.
When they don't,
and they can't.
Yeah.
They can't. They can't validate. They can't.
Well,
validate
they try. They will. Suppose they. Okay. Here's my question. If they come back and correct it and say, "Oh, that was our mistake," blah blah blah, then they've corrected it. Correct. And so the
there's still a violation.
It.
You can't unring the bell. They misrepresented the amount of the debt already.
Gotcha.
They're
Thank
on the
you.
Hook.
Forget the insurance. How do you know the taxes are correct, the interest they charge is correct, all the payments are accounted for, everything till the day of the beginning of the loan? How do you know that they're alleging that the last payment was made on the date that the actual last payment was made? How are they establishing the date of default? All those things are in question, and unless they can absolutely conclusively state it, if they state and represent they're doing something and they can't back it up with media or actual documentation, then they've just extended themselves. And if they're lawyers, they've, tantamount to violating Rule 11 sanctions, alleging something like that if they do it in a pleading. So, they can't validate. You just have to go through your steps and file your federal lawsuit.
Right. Okay. Last question.
All right,
somebody mentioned in the call last week, if you're with a lawyer, don't speak to them. In other words, so that you're either going through your lawyer or you're going through yourself. I have a, as I mentioned, a retained lawyer, so I don't. I want to be careful that, you know, for that comment that somebody made last week. If
yeah,
I
if they're sending you anything directly when you're represented, that's a violation.
No shit. Excuse me. No kidding. I mean, I know that they're not supposed to call me on the phone. We know that. We have that little agreement.
They have to communicate through your attorney.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when they send you loan money.
Listen, let's get clear on it.
Okay.
The only communication that's going around council is a demand for payment of any sort,
right,
including loan modification papers.
All right.
What is a loan modification?
What?
An attempt to collect a debt. Who can argue that?
Correct.
Not
written all over you, first page.
Thank you. Okay.
There you go.
All right. All right, guys. Have a good night. Thank you all. See you next week. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
Got it.
You bet.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to 202. We're going to go into D.C.
Hi, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes. Okay. I filed a complaint for a quiet title here in D.C. From a private lender who's a nominee on the deed. And it's been past 3 years, almost 4 years. Okay, and the reply and the answer, the attorney, Harry Stern, he said I didn't, a failure to state a claim. And also he had, since I had put all the information for the quiet title, he turned around and put in a motion for a judgment on the pleadings, or an alternate summary judgment against the complainant. And, okay, one other thing. He said that the settlement papers was done under seal. So I think that's 12 years or something.
You still haven't asked a question. What's your question?
Yeah, I was asking about he said it was done under seal, so that's what I don't understand, because the statute of limitations here is 3 years.
Yeah,
so
I have no idea any of that is. So I have no idea what your rules are in D.C.
Well,
no
it's
idea.
The statute of limitations for a simple contract is 3 years, but he's saying that it was done under seal.
Yeah, so that means it wasn't
seal?
Right, so I don't know what those rules are in D.C. What does under seal usually mean here versus there? I have no idea. Do you, Dave or Larry? I remember.
No, I have no idea what that would mean there.
Well, they're saying it's 12 years, so I had misunderstood the law or something, that when a contract is under seal, it's 12 years.
Well, what does the rule say about the contract under seal?
Well, the statute of limitations says...
No. What does the rule say about the contract under seal?
Okay, I didn't check that. Rules,
there you go.
The rules of the court?
Yes, your
rules
of civil procedure. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
For rules of civil procedure, I'm sorry. For whatever your
rules
court.
Of civil procedure, and then also check your local rules of your courts. Oh. You always have to know what the rules are concerning what the issues are that you're dealing with.
Okay.
Because if you don't, then you're kind of just hanging out there guessing at things.
I think that's going to be more in the under statutes and contracts.
Statutes and contracts?
Yeah.
And contracts. Okay, yep. Well, I know he, as far as after he answered, what are you saying about the judgment and the pleading, since I asked for a quiet title because it hadn't been enforced in 3 years, and I never received a statement or anything.
Yeah, they haven't enforced. You mean they haven't enforced the foreclosure?
No, they haven't. He haven't done anything until I put in for a quiet title. Then they're going to put in a motion for a judgment on my pleadings.
Right. So there was some prior. I guess we're lost here. You started in the middle of your case, I guess.
Okay.
Have they tried to foreclose on you?
No, not once.
Okay, you haven't made a payment in 3 years.
Right.
It's past the statute of limitations.
As far as the contract, simple contracts are in D.C., it's 3 years.
Okay, I don't know what a simple contract is, but a mortgage is generally not considered a simple contract. But
okay.
I don't know what D.C. law is. I have no idea. Thank
okay.
God I don't live, I'd kill myself.
I can tell you it's very convoluted, Jesse.
Oh, yeah, anything up there is convoluted. Anything. But regardless, my point is that if the statute of limitations on contracts is 3 years, then you didn't need to file a quiet title for anything. You just need to keep enjoying your life. And when they come to serve you with a foreclosure, you just dismiss it because it was past the statute of limitations. So,
okay, could it still be past the limitations even though they haven't billed me, they haven't contacted me, not one time? And plus the mortgage holder is a nominee. Does that make a difference?
That matters. Yeah, 3 years from usually 3 years from the date of the last payment.
Right.
That's all
that
matters. It doesn't matter who's doing it. If Santa Claus is your mortgager, it doesn't matter who.
Okay.
All that matters is the time.
You're going to have to look up what the statute of limitations is on foreclosing.
Yeah.
For foreclosing.
Because the other issue, the other issue there is latches, meaning they could have taken the action and they neglected to take the action, so therefore they waived the action. In Florida, for instance, it's 5 years. If you don't start foreclosing within the 5 years, you're done. It's over.
Okay, so they waived it since they haven't tried to foreclose within the 3 years, four years almost.
You said they waived it. I just said it's a possibility.
Right, that's what I mean.
Okay, yeah, I didn't say anything. I'm just telling you that's the way it works.
Okay, so would that make sense for them to try to put a judgment or to get a summary judgment as far as what I said in my pleadings?
Yeah, they're saying judgment on the pleadings. They're just trying to get the judge to say this lady's full of nonsense. Get rid of this. Makes total sense.
You need to look up the statute of limitations for foreclosing. Never mind simple contracts.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm not going to beat up on you, but you should have no business filing a quiet title unless you can answer every one of the questions that we've already asked you. That's why you never hear anybody on this call in 3 years, going on 3.5 years, talk about a quiet title. Dave, 5 years, no quiet title. Terry, no quiet. We never talk about quiet title because I don't think there's a single listener that's qualified to go in and file and actually proceed through with a quiet title. So I never talk about it.
Okay.
Jesse might be, but we're not even sure about him.
Exactly, because I haven't done it. I'm going to do my first one here probably in 8 or 10 months from now.
Okay.
And I'm going to get up for it. And I've been doing this stuff a long, long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, a lot of the easiest people make it sound.
Well,
so
is it a violation for them never sending me a statement, year-end statement, escrow, or nothing?
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. Because you seem to have some desire to get things resolved. If I walk into a parking lot that I know is guarded, and I see two big old pit bulls over there in the corner sleeping, I want to tiptoe by them, or do I want to go in and rattle the cage and wake them up?
Okay.
What did you just do?
I woke them up.
Thank you.
Okay.
And plus, for every other listener out there, so when you break into somebody's house, you try not to set the alarm. You don't alarm dogs. You don't want the owner coming at. So you're very quiet about things, and if I'm being left alone, I'm not going to go tell the guard dog, hey, look at me, I'm robbing your house.
Okay.
Quiet. What does it bother you none? In those 3 years, you just keep learning, learning, and learning. So when they finally do go, oh, damn, we haven't billed her in 3 or 4 or 5 years, now you can say, sorry, you're out of luck. Here's the law. But right now, you jumped the gun. You don't even know what you're doing, and you're already into a quiet title, and that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now that you've awoken that sleeping dog. And that's just leave them be, man. So I tell people, leave them be. If they're not bugging you, they forgot you. Leave it be for a while.
But what would you think the purpose of them just not doing anything?
Well, you didn't tell me, right?
I don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Never know, huh?
Yeah, you
and we're all
saying,
in the same boat.
And there's always the possibility that they're just plain stupid.
Well, no, let me ask you this question. You stopped paying, correctly?
Right. In 08.
Thought that your file just kind of disappeared?
Well, it's a private lender, so it shouldn't have disappeared far because I'm sure...
Who's to say it shouldn't?
Yeah, okay. Why are you making all these assumptions? David Stern has an approximate 15,000 to 20,000 foreclosures in the state of Florida that probably won't get prosecuted for another 5 years because the files have just disappeared.
Okay.
All his ruckus and his mess. So, those people are sitting pretty damn good right now.
Well, when
you
it's a nominee, what does that mean? Does it mean he's the owner or he's
nominee? Go look it up. What's nominee?
Well,
go look
it says
it up.
That you represent
Google.
Somebody else.
Usually, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got to keep moving here, guys.
Okay.
We want to try and get
well,
several more
you.
People in.
Thank you so much. Okay.
All righty. You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes here. Let's see how many we can get in here. If everybody can please be concise. Let's go to 216. 216, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please. 216, going once, going twice, gone. We're going to go to 973.
Hello?
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 973? Go ahead.
Yes, it's 973. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you heard me. Basically, we filed a lawsuit against Santander Bank for violations of the TCPA, and we filed it in federal court. And then we issued the summons as per the court, and Santander had 21 days to respond, to which they did not. They're well outside of their 21-day window, so now it's time to file a judgment. And so I just wanted to know, I guess, the necessary steps trying to file a judgment, or if you have any templates or any type of guidance on the website of what to do now, because they never responded to the complaint.
Who wants to
well,
jump on this?
Well, you've got to file for a clerk's default.
Yeah, there's, you're not even near a judgment yet.
I'm not near judgment. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
What do you have to do?
Well, Dave, let's
go ahead,
start
Jesse.
From the beginning. Do you have proof of service? That's the first question.
Yes, I have proof of service, and the court has already filed my proof of service, so I'm okay with that. And the new the court clerk, she kind of gave me a hint in terms of a New Jersey court rule to make sure I followed all the rules, which I did, and they have proof of service.
You motion the clerk? For a clerk's default.
So I would motion a clerk's default.
You would motion the court to give you the clerk's default, right? So you tell the clerk, you write it. There's some examples there. Just look it up in the pleading section.
Okay.
To get that first.
And I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit. I know you guys have limited time. So let's just say moving forward, I did the clerk default judgment. I put in a motion for that, and then I get judgment.
No. Wait a minute. You're getting ahead of things. Let Jesse finish telling you what the steps are, please.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She just jumped ahead. She knows what you're doing. You're going to get the clerk's default. Once the clerk's default, files with the judge is going to sign your judgment. He's going to give you a judgment.
Okay.
That's going to be your judgment. Once you get your judgment, then you got to move on for your writ so you can execute the writ. Once you have your writ, then you can go start collecting.
Okay.
Well, Jesse, you actually kind of left a little step out there. You request your clerk's default. Then you have to do a motion for default judgment. And then when you get that, then you can get your writ. And let me put this on the record here. When you put in your motion for default judgment in the wherefore clause at the end where you're asking for the court to grant default judgment, add the words, for which let execution issue.
For which, okay, let execution issue.
Right. You're basically saving a step when you do that because it saves you going back and getting your writ if the judge puts that in his in the order.
Okay.
Saves you a step, okay?
Okay, and so once I get past the writ step, a lot of banks don't want to pay because this is a hefty amount that we're suing them for. It's trouble damages. It's really a lot. So how do you really get them to actually pay you? Because I've heard stories that people aren't getting paid.
Yeah. Well, that'll be down the line a ways.
We got to get going. But
okay.
We'll probably get paid.
One thing at a time. You're not going to get
all
that
right.
done within a week. So chances are you're not going to have to chase them. Chances are you're going to get paid. Okay?
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good night, guys.
All right. You bet. Somewhere along in that process, you're going to get paid.
Yeah, Dave, I would say chances are that they're going to answer. And the judge
yeah.
Yeah.
Bet.
The real chances
yep.
are.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's go to 305. 305, you have been unmuted. Let's see if we can get something quick here.
Hello?
Hello. You're on.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Mine, I have several questions. I'm going to try to make them really quick. Number one, my loan just recently has been sold to Bayview. I'm in South Florida as well. And actually, two things. I know that earlier there were some people talking about attorneys. I do happen to have come across two attorneys, one foreclosure, one credit. And if they're interested, I can give the names out. Or if they can call me, I'll be more than happy to let them know who they can contact with regards to the credit as well as foreclosure. They're pretty good. I have them. They have been working on a friend of mine's legal issues, and they've been able to help her out tremendously. So, and they're in South
probably
Florida.
The best
for
way
those
to do it would
wanna...
be to just give a name.
Okay.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
one firm is ICE Legal. They're up in Palm Beach. You can Google them and you'll find them because they're foreclosure attorneys and they're pretty decent. And the other one is a Robert Murphy. He is off of Fort Lauderdale in Broward County, and he's decent. I mean, I'm not going to say he knows.
Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Screaming and nobody's heard responded. So did you mute me accidentally or something?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. What was your name again?
Maria.
Sorry, but Tom Ice is a piece of trash. I would not recommend a single person go to Tom Ice. So
no, it's legal.
I know Tom Ice. I know his exact work. And Tom Ice, trust me, I walked out of his office screaming at him and about four of his assistants. So no, do not recommend Tom Ice to anybody. Period.
Okay, sorry. Well, they've done a pretty decent job with a friend of mine, so I figure that Robert Murphy is the other one for the credit, so if anybody wants to look him up, they can. My questions are very simple. Number one, my loan has just been sold to Bayview. They've sent me the transfer letter. I sent the validation letter as well as the QWR to Bayview, but now MT Bank is the one servicing. So I sent a letter, a QWR to MT, a validation letter to MT, and so I did the same for Bayview. I just sent them out over the weekend. My question is, as I'm gearing up to go ahead and get prepared to do what I need to do, I'm also qualified for the Florida Hardest Hit Program, of which I got
What's
in contact
the
with them. Yes, actually, they called
question.
Me and said if I still wanted to proceed. Now,
we need the question, please.
Huh?
You keep talking. What's the question, please? We're
the
about
question
outside.
Is, should I proceed with the Florida Hardest Hit Program for them to provide financial help in order to pay down on the mortgage?
That's a good program, actually, and if it's going to help you and your family, of course proceed with it. Absolutely.
They don't pay you. They pay the mortgage company directly.
I understand. I'm very familiar with the program. I said if it helps you and your family, go for it.
Okay. All right. Then I have another question on the time of limitation for 5 years. You said that it's a foreclosure. They have to start foreclosure within that same time period, correct?
They have 5 years to start a foreclosure action. If they do not start it, they waive it.
Okay. Now, the foreclosure, my friend's home, they started foreclosure back in the early stages of her getting into default. After that, the foreclosure was dismissed. They sold the loan, and now these new people are coming in to start the foreclosure. Does that qualify for us to do a motion to dismiss on time barred?
Well, has it been over 5 years?
Yes, it has been.
The date of the last payment?
Was in 2007.
Oh, Jesus, yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Not only, it's not time-barred. It's time-barred, but you got it's under the statute of latches. As a matter of fact, you keep thinking. By the way, there's also another program out there. There's two programs for Florida homeowners. The hardest hit program's one, and the other one's another one for, I forget the name of the darn thing, but let me get you this. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to give you the exact. Yeah, 07. Wow, that is absolutely awesome. Good for you. And then I would come after him also under FDCPA because obviously they took it while it was under default, and they're not trying to collect, threatening to do something, right?
Yeah, I'm still trying to learn the whole thing, and I kind of taking the last couple of weeks to be able to go through some of the information and do the your conditions proceedings and so forth, and I'm in that process, and I'm trying to gather as much because I'm helping her out. She's freaking out on me. I'm like, don't freak out on me, okay? Don't freak out. We'll do this. We'll do this.
Yeah.
So,
don't do that.
I'm trying to help her out because she has no money for an attorney, and she's
Hold on. Let Jesse talk, please.
You really need to stop. Listen, I love all our listeners, but you get the talking girl, and you don't slow down. You need to slow down.
Okay.
Statute 9511, Section 2C. That's the five statute which specifically applies to mortgage foreclosure actions. Okay? And basically, it's under latches. Meaning you could have I mentioned it earlier, you could have taken the action, you've been sitting on your butt, you didn't take the action, so now you're not going to take the action. We're not going to let you take the action. Done. Good for her. Good for her.
Yep.
Okay.
She's in a good spot.
Yeah.
Damn right.
And that's what we were trying to go ahead and do the motion to dismiss this week so that we can get it filed because her answer, we did get an extension of time. Now, another question, the foreclosure document.
That's the last one.
Okay, just real quick. They did not provide validation. They provided validation through the complaint saying that it's something. Hold on, I'll read it really quick here. Give me just 1 second. It says, Fair Debt Collection Practices Act validation. And then say, regarding creditor, debt owed, and then this is a communication from a debt collector. That's what they're using to validate the let. That doesn't constitute validation.
That's not what they use to validate the debt. That's filed and attached to the actual complaint. That's the standard letter.
Uh-huh.
So that's not validation. That's not their attempt to validate. You don't need to validate. You're going to dismiss it based on the statute of limitations, which you're going to dismiss it on. End of story. That's it.
Yep.
You don't need to do anything else.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, don't
All
answer
right.
anything. You need to just dismiss it, okay?
Okay, so then, we're not going to answer it. So I am going to use, I'm using some of the motion to dismiss that you have on the website and kind of tweaking it to her particular situation. Do I just focus on this particular statute, or should I incorporate some of the other stuff that they are in violation of?
No, you don't need to a motion to dismiss has nothing to do with violations. So, through all
Okay, so just a motion to dismiss on this particular statute.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Talk
your help.
That. Absolutely. Tell her congratulations. Right. That's good stuff, man.
That is good. That's great.
Yeah, love that kind of stuff.
All right. We're going to wrap it up for tonight. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We had a great crowd tonight.
Yeah.
We had some callers we didn't get to, but come and jump in next week, or if you want to join us tomorrow night, of course, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, Terry is going to be doing the second webinar on the use of PACER. And especially for the new people, she's going to be touching on some things about how to use it to search and get certain specific information and find stuff you need. Again, that's at 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. And then she gets to do double duty because she has her call on Wednesday night. That starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. And if you're not on her mailing list to get the call-in number and everything, you need to send her an email right away. Don't wait till tomorrow, or you probably won't get it. Send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Just say, I want to be on the list, please, and she'll get the reminder email out to you. Don't wait again, please, on that. Then, of course, next Monday night, we'll have Dallas Debt Discussion. That starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. That is still on TalkShoe. The PIN number for that is 54318. And we started last night with a new segment of the Education Hour, and I started reading last night on a document that everyone needs to listen to. I will be spending an hour per Monday night for the next several weeks reading this. This is extremely important for everybody to listen to. It's about the law and lawyers and really, really understanding more of what's going on with this whole legal system we're dealing with. It's very, very interesting information.
Thereof, right? Yeah. Or lack thereof, right, Dave?
Yeah, or lack thereof, absolutely. It's some very, very interesting material that I got several years ago from a friend of mine who is departed, and I didn't know I had. I came upon it, and I was absolutely floored when I started reading it, but it's a real wake-up call. And again, those calls are archived, so if people want to go and listen to that, they can go to TalkShoe 54318 and listen to the call from last night. That call is also on Jeff's website at voidjudgments.net or .com. So anyway, there's lots of support out here, and as we always say, these calls are not a substitute for you being a member. This is to help you fit the pieces of the puzzle together. You really need to become a member to get all of the information so that you can study that and then come and ask what questions you have on how those pieces fit. And again, thanks to everybody that contributed tonight, Larry, Jeff, John, Jesse. Yep. I'm pleased to be here myself. And we're here to help you guys, but you got to jump in and do the work. There's success, you heard it, in the good news. There's lots of good news coming. So, Jesse, you got any last words?
No, just as usual, God bless everybody. Have a great week. Make sure you're on our webinars and Terry's call tomorrow night. The learning is never stops until you're a perpetual learner. You're not doing it right. And that's the best way I can put it. I am up literally in the morning studying, reading cases, and till late at night generally. And I think Dave and John and Terry and Jeff and Larry and most of us are, and you know, trying to find ways to maneuver around. And the more you put in, the more you get out of it. That's just the way it works. So remember, it also works backwards. The less you put in, the less you receive out of it. So I just listen to Dave, encourage everybody, you get in there, put your head down, start studying, and get in there. And good luck with all your trials and tribulations. I know some of you guys got coming up. So with that being said, thanks, Dave, and all the moderators. I appreciate you. Couldn't do it without you guys. Have a good night, and we will talk tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
John, good night. Boy.